Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you information and discussion of all kinds of health issues in your life from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. So first, as we always do, let's clarify what osteopathic medicine means for our new listeners. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine because we use our hands. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only United States-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and full medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but will always be founded on our gentle hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but is not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as problems like chronic headache, gastrointestinal issues, post-concussion syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many other problems. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? We do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we start on today's topic, I just want to remind you that you can listen to all of the prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, nutrition, winter health, stress, carpal tunnel, etc., by going to Robinhood Radio's website, then the On Demand button, then scroll down and select the Your Health shows, then you can click on the individual show by topic. It's really a great service. Today, we're going to start talking about headaches. Kind of tis the season, right? And while everyone seemingly knows where their head is, in order to address this broad and complex subject, we need to have a more detailed understanding of the anatomy of the head and neck. So we're going to dive into that first. To begin, let's realize that the head is not a bowling ball of bone with a brain floating inside it and two eyeballs poking out of it. The head and face are made up of more than 20 individual bones that articulate with each other and support the soft tissues of the head and face. We think of the head as consisting of the cranium, in other words, the skull, which is comprised of 8 bones, and the face, which is comprised of 14 bones. Some of these bones occur in pairs. The cranium consists of the following bones: 1 frontal bone, the forehead bone, although this sometimes remains as 2 unjoined bones on each side of the forehead from childhood; 2 parietal bones that sit on the sides and top of the head; two temporal bones, one on each side of the head, that contain the ear and the vestibular anatomy for our balance, one sphenoid bone that crosses through the skull, and one ethmoid bone that sits behind the nose and forehead above the palate, and finally one occipital bone that caps the back of the skull. The face consists of the following facial bones: two zygomatic bones that arch under the eyes, two maxillae that make up the bulk of the front of the face and contain the upper teeth, two small nasal bones on each side of the root of the nose where it joins the skull behind the flexible nasal cartilage, two tiny lacrimal bones near the inner corners of the eyes, two palatine bones that make up each side of the rear of the hard palate in the mouth, one vomer that sits below and deep to the palatine bones, two inferior nasal conchae, which are part of the lateral wall of the nasal cavity, and one mandible, which is the entire lower jawbone. Don't worry, there won't be a quiz. All of these bones articulate with their neighbors in tiny ranges of motion at their sutures that are stabilized by connective tissue, and they move with our innate motions of breathing and the pulsing of arterial blood and other fluids. The greatest range of motion, of course, occurs at the temporomandibular joint between the lower jaw, our mandible, and the temporal bone just in front of the ear. In fact, this joint actually has a small disc similar to that found between our backbones to help absorb the incredible forces of chewing. The TMJ is such a unique and amazing joint that we did an entire show on this subject, so do check it out on the podcast online. Our heavy skull and face, comprised of all these bones and tissues, sit balanced and controlled atop the vertebrae of the neck, like a heavy globe on a flexible rod. And this happens through a remarkable feat of bioengineering involving many layers of ligaments that attach bone to bone, muscles and their tendons that attach muscle to bone, and the fascial matrix that surrounds and connects all of these. The average human head weighs 10 to 11 pounds. That is about 8% of the weight of an entire human body. The average adult brain only weighs about 3 pounds, so most of the weight in the head consists of the bones and other soft tissues and fluids. Now, we also need to be aware that coursing through all these complex tissues and moving parts are all the nerves, including all the cranial nerves controlling breathing, heart rate, eye movement, sense of smell and taste, gastrointestinal function, chewing, facial expression, hearing, balance, etc., the arteries, veins, and lymphatic vessels, as well as the skull being home to the inner ear and vestibular organs of hearing and balance, and the nose, eyes, tongue, and teeth, and the top of the esophagus and trachea with all the complex requirements for coordination of breathing and swallowing, and of course that 3 pounds of brain and the spinal cord emerging out of the skull deep in the top of the neck within the cervical vertebrae, in other words, the neck bones. Yikes! That's a lot going on in a relatively small space. The miracle of physiology and anatomy is that most of the time, all of this incredible detail functions quite normally and efficiently during our lives, starting with birth and childhood, development and growth, through to aging, and in spite of various stresses, strains, and injuries. What an amazing ecosystem. We need to take a closer look at the neurological anatomy of the head, face, and neck, as this is so key to understanding the varied sources of headaches. But before we do that, we'll take a break from all the anatomical detail and describe in a general way all the different kinds of headaches that we may suffer from. Headaches are clinically and rather arbitrarily classified into three general classes. Primary headaches, that are considered to be diseases unto themselves, such as migraine, cluster headache, or tension headache. Secondary headaches, that are thought to be caused by another primary agent, such as a trauma, injury, or infection, like meningitis, a stroke, dental issues, or musculoskeletal structural issues. And lastly, cranial neuropathies, meaning pain related to disorders of the cranial nerves, including idiopathic facial pains or other idiopathic pain caused by agents or unknown causes. Idiopathic means we don't understand what caused it. Let's look at each type in a little more detail. We'll start with primary headaches. Perhaps the most common type of headache is a tension headache. They are nearly 90% of all adult headaches. This is literally a headache caused by tension in the muscles or connective tissues of the head, face, or neck. The contraction of these soft tissues causes pain that can radiate from the back of the head, the neck, the eyes, or face, and typically affects both sides of the head. Tension headaches can occur intermittently or repeatedly, and they can become chronic. The pain is usually dull and aching and can feel like there is a band or vise tightened around the head. They vary from very, very mild to very severe. Next is migraine headache. Migraine is not merely a severe tension headache. Migraine headache has very specific symptoms and is almost always severe and debilitating. Migraines are recurrent, generally severe, and may start by affecting one half of the head. They can be pulsating in nature, and they last variably from 2 to 3 hours to 3 or more days. Symptoms often include nausea, repeated vomiting, and sensitivity to light, sound, or smell, sometimes so severely that the sufferer must retreat to a dark room for the duration of the migraine. The pain of a migraine can be excruciating. About 30% of migraine sufferers develop an aura. In other words, a short period of visual disturbance with flashing lights or other visual changes, which acts as a kind of prodrome or preview to the headache. Occasionally, an aura can occur with little or no headache following it. When no headache occurs, this is called a visual migraine. Migraine is often very difficult to control and can run in families. It affects women far more than men, and it's often associated with hormonal changes. Trigeminal autonomic cephalgias is a mouthful, and it means headaches that involve parasympathetic nervous system dysfunction of the head and eye in relation to the trigeminal nerve. The trigeminal nerve is a cranial nerve essentially responsible for sensation in the head, among other things. Recall that the parasympathetic nervous system is part of our autonomic nervous system that does things rather automatically for us. In this case, these headaches are essentially all variations of cluster headaches and are even less well understood than migraine. They are well named and involve a group of repeated headaches, usually over a period of several weeks. The patient experiences attacks of severe or very severe, strictly one-sided pain, usually around the eye or temporal area, and it can last 15 minutes to several hours. These can occur from once every day or two, up to 8 to 10 times a day. These headaches are also associated with one or more difficult symptoms on the same side of the face because the autonomic nervous system dysfunction, like reddening of the eye, tearing, nasal congestion with running nose, forehead and facial sweating, or changes in the pupil size of the affected eye, are caused by the dysautonomia. Cluster headaches occur in two main types: episodic, in which at least two cluster headache phases lasting 1 week to 1 year are separated by a headache-free period of at least 1 month or longer, or chronic cluster headaches, in which the clusters occur more than once a year without a break, or the headache-free period is less than 1 month. There are other primary headaches caused by certain triggers or activities such as coughing, cold temperatures, sexual activity, or external pressure or traction on the head, face, or neck. Then there are the so-called secondary headaches that are, in theory, in response to another primary problem, and they include headaches due to trauma or injury, head or neck vascular disorders, infection, drug-induced headache or headache induced by drug withdrawal, disorders of the cranium, neck, eyes, ears, nose, sinuses, teeth, mouth, or other facial or cervical structure, or from psychiatric issues. And then finally, there are those neuropathies attributable to disorder or damage of specific nerves in the head, face, or neck, which can be tracked by their specific regions of symptoms and dysfunctions, including trigeminal neuralgias and postherpetic neuralgias that occur after a shingles outbreak on the head, neck, or face. You can begin to see how complex the clinical world of headache diagnosis and treatment becomes. We're going to explore many of them in much more detail in our upcoming shows, so stay tuned. This was just the intro. The diagnosis and treatment of headache is fascinating, and it's a challenging area of osteopathic medicine because osteopathic treatment can be especially useful to help with headache problems, to gently and gradually relieve physical restrictions to the muscles, vertebrae, cranial bones, connective tissue, and associated soft tissues, including nerves and circulation. It can restore optimal range of motion in all joints and associated tissues, relieve the muscle strain and spasm around the head and neck, and alleviate pain and inflammation. An osteopathic physician who is a specialist in osteopathic manual medicine knows how to work gently and in detail with the intricate and extraordinary structures of all your tissues. Working with the soft tissues, bones, muscles, ligaments, tendons, and fascias to relieve pain and inflammation, optimize circulation and lymphatic drainage, and help your body restore all the tissues to best possible structure and function, thereby not only helping to relieve the problem, but also helping to prevent it. So for a brief review from today, headaches come in a vast array of types and severities. Today we began looking at the detailed anatomy and types of tissues that are involved with headaches. Each type of headache has different causes or triggers for their origins and for their repeated exacerbations, and these vary among individuals and in different periods in patients' lives. Sudden, new, severe headache can be due to stroke or other life-threatening disorder and always requires immediate medical attention. Yet new headache can be caused by any of the myriad types of headache we listed today, most of which are not life-threatening. In our next show, we'll explore some of the more common specific types of headaches and how to treat them in more detail. Osteopathy is practiced by osteopathic physicians who are specialists in osteopathic manual medicine, can help to relieve and prevent headaches by making a real difference in helping to optimize structure and function throughout the head and neck, and therefore in alleviating discomfort with gentle, precise, hands-on work. Well, that's all we're going to cover today. Thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your comments and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathy, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut, Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m. with evening hours Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. I'll be looking forward to being with you next time. In the meanwhile, you take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.